Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and today is an open mic Friday. That means that you can phone me on this January the 20th in the year of our Lord 2017 with any question that you might have on your mind of a theological nature. The numbers are 821-0850. That's if you're in the St. Louis area. But anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. And we encourage you to phone as soon as possible, simply because we're at a point where a lot of people call near the end of the program. We just don't have time to get to you. 1-800-730-2727. Our theme for this past week has been that the Bible really doesn't make any common sense. And that's what we're going to be looking at today in a number of ways, how the Bible doesn't make common sense. All right, we're ready for our first caller. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. You're on the air. Who's this? How you doing, Marilyn? How can I help you?
Well, I was calling in reference to a comment that Pastor Baker made.
Okay, I'm Pastor Baker.
I'm sorry. And, I got that radio going.
Yeah, put down the radio, please, Marilyn. Thank you so much.
Pastor, you made the comment the other day, and if I heard it wrong, my apologies, that God causes suffering. This really bothered me, and I'm not quite sure that I follow what you said.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did God cause the suffering of Jesus on the cross?
Absolutely.
Well, so you already agree that God causes suffering?
He did to his son.
Yes, but you know who he also allows it to happen is to you and to me, because in that sense, we go back to the scripture in an attempt to be comforted by our God. And therefore, you've had children, and you know, pretty soon they become pretty independent. But if something bad happens to them, they call on you for help. And so, when we say God causes suffering, suffering one can understand as part of the sinful fallen world, and God did not cause that. That was the fall of Adam and Eve into sin. But now that we are in a sinful world, God, remember, he removed them from the Garden of Eden so they could not eat from the tree of life and live forever in their sinful state. So one can say God caused them to be removed from a wonderful garden, but he did so for their own good. So would you rather, Marilyn, here's your next question. Would you rather have it that the devil has the power to cause suffering?
Well, I guess no.
No.
That Jesus Christ lives in me.
Yes. In fact, a lot of times we're like Job. If you read the book of Job, the devil has to come to God to get permission to cause suffering to Job. And God only permits suffering to come to us so that we do not lose faith as we turn to him for help and look to his word. So suffering is actually a way in which God uses to make us cling to his promises even more. And he'll never give you, Marilyn, more suffering than you're able to endure as you turn to him in prayer and reading the Bible.
Oh, my goodness. How true it is. I thank you for that. I am so grateful. And God bless you on this most historic day for our country.
Yes, thank you so very much, Marilyn. I appreciate that, and anyone else can call. You see, that's a perfect example of the theme that we're running with this last week about common sense. For example, can you imagine that you're about to be adopted? Maybe you're 8 years old, and you ask about, well, these new parents I'm going to get, what are they like? And the adoption agency says, well, one thing we know is that they're going to have you suffer. Well, can you imagine from a commonsensical point of view that the child isn't going to be very happy about hearing that? Oh, I don't want them as parents. I want parents who are going to give me blessings, who are going to take care of me. But of course, the adoption agency probably would never say that. But if they were honest, they would. Because there is no child that doesn't suffer from their point of view because of parents. Sometimes parents tell them to go to bed early and they want to see a television program or something. They make them get up. They make them eat breakfast. They make them do chores. And they may even discipline them when they are disobedient. That's all called suffering. And therefore, any child that comes into a family will suffer. But if you tell that to a child who's about to be adopted, they're not going to be looking forward to that. You'll want to say instead, well, this is a parents who really are going to take care of you. They're going to love you and this sort of thing. And you leave out the negative kind of stuff. But from a family point of view, and definitely from a church point of view, the suffering that God permits or causes is always in his mind for our good. Now, we can't figure that out sometimes, because who of us who have lost a loved one think, oh, great, thank you, God, for causing this suffering? No, we thank God for getting us through this suffering. So, if you want to phone on this subject or any other subject, number in St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. I'll tell you, if you're going to be with me on Monday, I haven't decided which reading I'm going to do because each one of them don't make any sense. The Old Testament reading from Micah for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. Remember, God prescribes that the people of Israel are to indeed, what? Do sacrifices. But Micah says, well, he's not very happy with the sacrifices. Wow, what does that mean? And then the epistle says he's going to destroy the wisdom of the world. And then finally, we get the Gospel of Matthew that said, blessed are you who are persecuted. Well, who wants to be persecuted? So, our phone numbers, we've got some people on. And let me see. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, this is Steve.
Steve, go ahead, Steve.
In comment to your last call, I know in one of the later Old Testament chapters it says, God says, I bring the good and the bad. But anyway, the question is, you know, lying is always bad, but then I read in one of the books where the prostitute lied to save some of God's people. That's confusing. And then another thing, with the suffering around the world, I've heard people have these discussions about, if there's a gun to your head and they say, do you believe in Jesus? You know, Jesus in the Bible, it says, if you deny me, I'll deny you. But some people argue that that doesn't apply in that situation because how silly is it to say yes and be shot to death at that moment? Well, I just thought, what are your thoughts on that? It's kind of a silly question, but
No, it's an excellent question. When I look at the commandments, there's only one, in my opinion, that is always a sin. And that is the one, thou shalt not commit adultery. For example, killing someone is not always a sin if you're in war or defending yourself. And in this situation, when somebody, for example, we had Jews that were hidden by Christians in their homes during the Nazi occupation in Germany. And they would come and the Nazis would say, do you have any Jews? And they would say no. Now, that would be a lie. But actually, to say yes would be a breaking of God's commandment, because the thou shalt not kill also refers to help your neighbor. And therefore, to participate in the killing of someone unjustly would be a sin. So lying sometimes is appropriate. In regard to the other one about, are you a Christian? Because if you say yes, we'll kill you. It was interesting. This is a true story. A man denied he was a Christian, but his two sons admitted they were Christians, and they were shot in front of him. And he said that he always regrets that day that he had not said he was a Christian, because perhaps his two sons wouldn't have been killed either. This is a tough situation. I'm not sure, if I look at myself right now, and somebody broke into our house with my grandchildren there and said, if you don't deny Jesus, we're going to kill your grandchildren. I really agree with you, Steve. At this point, I'm not sure what I would say there. And if I did deny, I know that I can always go to Jesus and get forgiven for that. Because when he's talking about those who deny me, I will deny him, that's in a state of confession when you're in a regular situation. And with the kind of, what do they call them? Not punishments, but cruelty that people can do. A lot of people will just about say anything just to stop the pain. So I'm not going to make a judgment on them if they deny it. It's, again, between them and God. They're in a no-lose situation, because if they're to lie in order to obey God, there's no forgiveness necessary. And if they lie or disconfess Jesus, there is forgiveness.
Good discussion. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And thank you so much for calling. And we're just going to go down. And boy, we're going to talk to our good friend. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? It's been a while. We've had holidays and ice storms. Good to hear you.
Well, thank you. It's good to hear you. I have a question for you.
I figured that.
Okay, let's just say you committed a crime and the cops caught you, but you knew they didn't have enough evidence against you. Would you be lying if you pleaded not guilty in court?
No.
Why is that?
All right, I'll give you an example where I did exactly that. I was going over the speed limit and they caught me. They gave me a ticket. And I asked them whether or not they had tested their radar with a tuning fork ahead of time. And he said, no, not today. Mm-hmm. Well, I would say not guilty, because I could go to court. And if he admitted that in court, then the judge wouldn't know for sure whether the radar was working properly. And so, therefore, I would get out of that ticket on what's called a technicality.
Right.
I could also say not guilty, because someone would charge me for a crime at a deeper level than I really had done it. You know, there's first degree murder, there's manslaughter, there's accidental killing, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so, depending on what the charge is, I'm not a lawyer. So I could say not guilty and see what would happen in a courtroom. But if I really did a crime, you got an excellent question, Mike. And I knew that the charge was appropriate, and I would say not guilty. I'd have to think about that one for a while, because there are times. For example, I once got stopped by a motorcycle officer for going through a red light, changing lanes, and not having my license with me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a license. He just didn't recognize it as a valid license, but the judge did. Changing lanes, I had gone from across the intersection from three lanes into four lanes. And so I didn't think that that was wrong. But at the end, the judge looked at me and he said, did you get through the light before it turned red? And I said, no, sir, I was about three quarters of the way. I entered when it was going orange. I didn't get through. I got red and I did not make it. And in that way, I got out of two of the charges, but he fined me, but not as much as if I had gone through a red light from the beginning.
I see.
So I'm really careful if in a courtroom when a person says not guilty, who knows? You know, for the longest time, and I know people were angry at me with this, I didn't think there was enough evidence against O.J. Simpson, you know, when they said not guilty. I think I would have said the same thing. The glove didn't fit, all kinds of things. Do you know that they have a program on now showing that O.J. Simpson, at least these people think he couldn't have committed the crime, and they're giving evidence for that now. So who knows when someone is really guilty or not? And for them to say not guilty, I tend not to want to judge their heart because I don't know all the circumstances.
Oh, I see.
Okay?
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Thank you very much, Mike. And it's great to hear from Mike. I always like hearing from Mike. He's got good questions. You see, why does Mike have good questions? Because he reads a lot. And by the way, Mike is also one of the listeners who will send me items. And these items are really pretty good. They have great questions to them. And sometimes he's attempting to correct me on an item or so. And I'll tell you, once I get a letter from Mike, I have to look in the Bible to see if his correction. And some of you have heard where I have corrected myself after Mike and others have written to me. See, I'm a pastor. I'm not God. Therefore, I don't know the scriptures as well as Jesus did. So therefore, for example, at last night's Bible study, we didn't get very far in the actual Bible study. We're kind of going through 300 passages from the Old Testament that apply in the New Testament. And I always start every class with, does anybody have any questions? Well, there were a number of questions because the previous week we hadn't met due to the weather. And what were these, or 2 weeks before that, what was the question that has to do with transgenderism? Well, that took about 50 minutes to answer because people had other questions and this sort of thing. And we only ended up getting to one of the Old Testament Bible verses. And so next week, we've still got the rest of the page to go through. But part of the reason for that is because the Bible simply doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense because, like on transgenderism, people will say, well, you know, an individual is born that way. He may have been born male, but he wants to be female. We talked about a hospital that used to do transgender surgery and no longer do because they consider it not to be a real problem except for psychology. It's a psychological problem because your sex you're born with, but your gender you learn about. And so, therefore, gender is something different. And for somebody to want to change their gender by changing their sex, it just doesn't happen. This hospital and the doctor who used to do transgender surgeries talked quite a bit about how there's a higher suicide rate among those who complete the transgender surgery. And the other thing they found out, it still doesn't make the person happy because they think, well, if I was a woman, I'd be a lot happier. And guess what? In the majority of cases, that just doesn't happen. But then we went to the Bible and we showed verses where God created male and female. And therefore, any time that you go against the creation of God, that's called going against his will. And so it is a sin that a person would have transgendered surgery because they want to be a different gender than God had them born with. And it's the same with homosexuality. The same argument occurs there. People say, well, that's the way I was born. No, no, that's original sin. And we talked about that on Wednesday. So, on Thursday with Wes Reinitz. If you want to understand our point of view from the Bible on what is original sin, then you want to listen again to yesterday's broadcast. Pastor Wes Reinitz had a wonderful article he had found, and we talked about it, why it is very clear that not only Jesus, because remember, anything in the Bible is what Jesus says. A lot of people think, well, Jesus didn't talk about original sin. We actually found some verses where he did. But even if he hadn't, guess what? There's no part of the Bible that isn't the word of Jesus. Why do you think on the road to Emmaus they had such a long conversation? Because the only Bible they were talking about that Jesus was talking about was, of course, the Old Testament books. And time and time again, there are many passages that are the word of Jesus. In fact, verse 3 of the Bible, and God said, let there be light. That's the word of God, according to John chapter 1, who's making the announcement that this indeed is God's word. So when people say, well, Jesus never said, The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father all have a part in creating the Bible. And though 2 Timothy 3:16 says all the scripture is by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you think that the Holy Spirit isn't in contact with Jesus when that Bible is written? Of course not. So don't get fooled by picking up a Bible and a lot of the type is in red. Why is it in red? Because people are saying those are the words of Jesus. Well, the fact of the matter is the whole Bible, therefore, should be in red because there's nothing in the Bible that is not from the mind of Jesus. And that's very important to understand. So when somebody says, no, Jesus was never against homosexuality, just read the Old Testament. Read the first chapter in Romans and try and walk away from that thinking that homosexuality is okay. No. Just like transgenderism, it is not what God originally created. And therefore, when someone goes against the will of God in those areas, they're going against God's will. And that's called sin. So we love homosexuals. We love transgendered. We love people who are imprisoned for various crimes. We love people who gossip. All those are sins. Why do we love them? Because what love is, according to Philippians, is we put their interests before ours. And that's what true love is, because that's what Jesus did for you. His interests are set aside for yours. Marilyn talked about that when she spoke about how Jesus went to the cross. And even though that suffering was caused by God the Father, there's no doubt it was out of interest for you. Now, this Sunday, we'll be at Trinity Lutheran in Orchard Farm, 8 and 10:30. For worship services, and we'll be again talking about something that doesn't seem to make any sense according to the Bible. And by the way, if you attend the 10:30 worship service, we have a special treat for you. The children from the parochial school are going to be singing at the beginning of the service. Tremendous school we have there. Till Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.